I have
current geek.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Current Geek. This is Current Geek, the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All Stars. Geeks of the world and you, to keep you current on all things that matter most. The man with the hammer is Tom Merritt, and I'm Scott Johnson. Hello, Tom.
That is not a hammer, Scott Johnson. That is a gavel.
Gavel, sorry. Nobody.
A gavel with a name.
Yeah, no judge.
A name that's a pun on a love boat.
You're not saying, so judges don't wield a hammer?
They don't. Okay. That's when they make their, they can wield the hammer in punishment as a sentence.
Okay.
You know, that's I sentence you with my gavel to two whacks with the hammer.
Oh, all right. But you would never whack. He would never whack. Be whacked with a hammer or a gavel. You'd only whack him with a hammer. I get it. I'm with you.
See, it's the law.
It's all making sense now.
It's complicated.
Thank you for being here, everybody. Join us now in welcoming our guest, someone we thought was here before because it should have been. It was so right. It never happened. Now he's here and we're so glad. It's Lamar Wilson, everyone. Lamar, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I feel so slighted, but thank you for finally getting me in here.
Well, it really is a weird subconscious disconnect. We have so many people that come on the regular and also new people every week that it just, I don't know how we hadn't done it. And even when Tom said, hey, we should get Lamar, and I thought, oh, yeah, we'll have him back. And Tom thought, yeah, we'll have him back. And then I called you, and you're like, I don't think I've been on there before.
I think it's a testament, Lamar, to just how much of a part of our daily lives you are.
Yeah, you are, man. You're on the YouTube. You're doing big things, big stuff.
That makes me feel good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Later we'll talk more about your YouTube
If you haven't
dominance.
Made Lamar part of your daily routine, go to youtube.com/Lamar Wilson and subscribe now.
Yeah. Have you heard
excuse me. That's Lamar Constantinople.
Yeah. Sorry, I forgot your middle name.
Yeah. A little callback from pre-show. Also, if you've heard of things like, I don't know, Markiplier or PewDiePie, forget about those guys. Lamar Wilson's the guy you subscribe to. Yeah, the pretenders to the crown, to the throne. Yes.
I own the throne.
Right. He'll hit you with a hammer. All right. Let's get straight to some headlines, and it begins with this.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
Tom, what happened this week, man?
What happened is a lot of great people went into our subreddit at currentgeek.reddit.com and submitted some stories for us to talk about, and we think they're pretty awesome people for doing it. If you'd like to be an awesome person, too, go there and do that. Currentgeek.reddit.com. It's that easy. Cap Gipper does it all the time. He pointed out a story about Kayleen Cao from Taipei creating a prosthetic tentacle as an alternative to artificial human limbs. Controls on the limb tell the tentacle to curl and uncurl. And so it doesn't have suckers on it, but it has little gripping things so you can like wind it around a glass and pick it up and drink and pick things up with it. It's just, you know, if you need an artificial limb but would rather have a tentacle, now you can.
Well, I've thought about this a bit, about the future of you know, prosthetics, and we've made so many great strides and people can, you know, print their own in some cases. There have been people who have made amazing contraptions with like Lego. And they work, and they can pick things up, and on the higher tech side, there's things that can sense all kinds of touch and give you haptic feedback and all this stuff. So we're clearly heading toward a better time for those who might need replacement limbs, but there's an assumption, I think automatically on the part of most people, that it needs to be looking like an arm and fit down a sleeve and have four fingers and a thumb and be the anatomical equivalency that you would have there otherwise, or in the case of the leg like that. But I love the idea that you could go, you know, let's make it better than it was before. Make something that's maybe a little bit more useful, has the same basic functionality. But this seemed a lot more, I don't know, useful and flexible and fluid and weird looking, yeah. But can we get past that, do you think, Lamar? Can people get used to the idea of a tentacle arm that's much more functional than a normal arm?
Absolutely not. No, the moment I saw this, I thought Dr. Octavius. I kept seeing Spider-Man cartoon. Yeah. With the limbs. It's creepy. It's really creepy. I get it. I can see where maybe you could put different attachments on so to do different functions. Mm-hmm. And you know, to make it work. I obviously that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, because maybe the metal hand, you know, doesn't serve all purposes, but the tentacle just looks freaky. If I saw somebody in public with that, I would
I would back go, up. Give me one.
Yeah, give me. And don't wrap around my neck, please.
But doesn't it seem like if you're the guy that had his arm? I hate to be morbid, but let's say it was blown off in a war or something. Okay, so you come home
or in an octopus attack.
Thank you. Say. Even better, you've been attacked by an octopus. Why not come back home and go, I gave that thing up. I made the sacrifice of my organic, awesome arm that I was born with. So I should actually get something that's better than I had before. And maybe we can do that with just an arm-looking, hand-looking arm thing. But it seemed like you could have, you know, you want the attachment to make you better than everyone else. I would.
I if I'm going to be better, I want to be better like the Bionic Woman. Hmm. Like she could play tennis and hit that ball at 300 miles an hour. I don't know if that was her thing, but I want super strength. I don't want super creepiness.
What if it's buy two, get four free?
Whoa.
Now, how many limbs have you hit?
Well, I'm just saying, then you could Doc Ock, you could go all Doc Ock on it.
Well, you could. I guess I'm just saying, if we're going to start enhancing ourselves, well, I don't know. There's a lot of moral questions about this that start to come up, because then you have people volunteering to do it. If the tentacle arm is so much better than a normal arm, then why not just hack that off and get a tentacle one? But in a vacuum and outside of those larger questions, I don't know. I'd want the most functionality.
We just descended into local news territory. Yeah. Tonight, will children cut off their arms for tentacle arms? Something you need to know about for your children at 10:30.
That sounds like a terrible newscast, and also accurate about most newscasts. But like when I had to get two new lenses put into my eyeballs, okay? Because I'd early.
You wouldn't have rather had tentacles?
I would have rather tentacle eyes. No, I would rather if I could have, I would have said, give me a thing with a heads-up display and like laser targeting and I don't know, you know, more function, zoom, power zoom and stuff. If that would have been available to me, I would have definitely opted for that. But then I think, well, I'll bet a lot of people would opt for it whether they had to get their eyes done or not. So I don't know. Lamar, you make a good point. I just think it's like Google Glass. We see somebody with a stupid things on their head and we think, well, that's dumb and annoying, and I feel like they're looking at me the whole time, and that's kind of why those things are being, you know, how those are going to be positioned in the market or changing and everything else. I mean, Tom, I'm not crazy, right? Like, we're not ready for tentacle arm man.
I don't know if we are or not, but that is certainly not a crazy thing to think.
Right.
I think once the aliens come first, then I can accept tentacle man.
Right.
Because then everything else is normal after that.
Yeah. I'm just trying to blend in at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
Except Tentacle Man. He's not the Tentacle Man we want. He's the Tentacle Man we need.
I got a tentacle too.
Well, yeah, sure. Why not?
Hey, the Game Awards 2015 happen at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday, December 3rd, just a few weeks away, live from the Microsoft Theater. And the list of nominees who made the November 24th release deadline, anything that comes after the 24th isn't eligible, is out. So begin parsing Game of the Year. Is it Bloodborne? Is it Fallout 4? Is it Metal Gear Solid 5? Is it Super Mario Maker? Or is it The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt?
Lamar, you're a gamer. What do you think, man? I feel like this list is missing some entries to me.
I feel like it's missing some entries, too.
You can only have so many. You can't list all the games.
Right. Yeah. As much as I love Nintendo, and I really do, Mario Maker, as great of a game it is, it seems so odd in that group of these, you know, masterful type of
Bloodborne.
Yeah,
Mario Maker.
Exactly. I don't know. I admittedly, only because I've been having company stay with me this week, I have not had a chance to sit down and play Fallout 4, because I do have it, but I've been watching streams of it when I can, and I think it's a brilliant, beautiful looking game. I play a little bit of The Witcher. I would have to go with one of those. You know, I think The Witcher's been a little bit longer, but it didn't seem like it got a lot of play. Like, it seemed like it died off pretty quickly.
It did really well, though. That thing sold like 8 or 10 million copies. Like, pretty heavy-duty success with that game. The trick is, I mean, basically Fallout 4, Metal Gear Solid 5, Bloodborne to some extent, and Witcher 3 are all kind of in the same sort of giant open world take forever games.
Yeah.
And so they're in an interesting category. I don't know what the criteria is here, but I don't like that Game of the Year is only five big mega blockbuster AAA titles? Because that's what even the Mario Maker game is considered that from Nintendo. It's a big first party release.
It sold really well. It sold over a million, so did Splatoon.
Yeah, Splatoon did well. Fallout 4 has already shipped something like 14 million copies. Like, if we're basing it purely on what made the biggest splashes in a mainstream way this year, well, then yeah, I agree with this list, but I feel like it's missing.
Okay, well, here's
good.
The thing. It was a panel of judges from 32 international publications that came up with the nominees. If you were on that panel and you could swap out one or two of these, what do you think should be on here?
All right. I would probably swap Bloodborne. I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I would swap Bloodborne.
Well, it's Bloodborne. It's sloppy.
Let's slop it out of here.
I'd put like Ori and the Blind Forest, which did get a nod for best art direction, but I
got best independent game nomination as well.
Oh, it did. Okay. So maybe it's getting its due. I don't know. Like, what's another one here? I'm trying to find one that I've seen.
I have a hard time putting Nintendo games in there, and don't get me wrong, I'm a huge Nintendo fan, but like when you talk about mass appeal, even Bloodborne is only on one system. Mm-hmm. Was it on PC as well?
Bloodborne was on. No, not yet. But there's talk of that. I think this was a Sony deal. They made a pretty exclusive deal.
Yeah, it just makes it hard when it's on one game system to justify that, in my mind.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the one, and I didn't play this game, but just knowing how enthusiastic people were about it, I would think Rocket League.
Yeah, I loved Rocket League. There's my pick. I had more fun with Rocket League than I did three of those games on that list. Like, that game continues to keep me coming back. They've got some like Mad Max style DLC coming out in December. Always a reason to go play it. Always fun with friends. It's a very cool game. And because it isn't some giant narrative driven open world where, you know, I can do things like I can do in the otherwise excellent Fallout 4. In fact, if I'm voting, Fallout 4 so far is my pick on this list. But still, I wouldn't have mind seeing something that isn't from a major publisher or developer.
Or are Batman Arkham Knight's not on here?
I was going to say other
nominations.
Right.
So. Arkham Knight for sure. I would have also put, and I know it gets a nod somewhere in this list, but Life is Strange. It's one of those beautiful games.
Really, really cool. And you know what? Yeah. Listen, this is a very hard thing to pull off. I think Jeff Keighley does a really good job with balancing this. He used to do it for the VGAs when it was going on Spike. Was it Spike or G4 or whatever? Now he's off on his own doing this with Independence, and I like it much better. Last year, I think, was the first year. I think it was a really good job. This year should be.
Yeah, it was a good, clean show. Yeah,
it was much better than before. It didn't feel like a commercial for everything as much as.
Well, and here's the last question I would say is: whenever any list comes out like this, whether it's about science fiction or the Oscars or whatever, everybody says, "Well, I would put this thing on here instead of that," because we all have different tastes. Do you look at this list though and go, "Wow, this thing's messed up," or do you think, "Well, okay, I disagree maybe on a couple of things, but it's a reasonable lineup."
It's a reasonable lineup. It's okay. These are big games this year. They're all highly regarded. I think it's fine. The category that actually bugs me the most, and I'll just lay this out here, is Developer of the Year. They have Bethesda, CD Projekt Red, From Software, Kojima Productions, and Nintendo. I don't know how you narrow that down to five people, and also that pretty much just equivalent or matches up with the Game of the Year folks as well. So you're basically just saying, hey, every Best Picture nomination, we're also naming every director in there. Yeah. And I guess that happens to some degree. But From Software has not produced No Man's Sky yet. We don't have it yet. Oh, wait, is that From? I might be thinking of something else. Oh, crap, never mind. Wrong game company.
But crap, someone was wrong on the internet. Run!
But like Kojima Productions, he makes a game once every 7 years. I don't know if I'd put them on a list as awesome as that game is.
No Man's Sky is Hello Games.
Hello Games, that's right. I always get them mixed up with From. But some of these are weird, but the one that is absolutely getting my vote, and if you haven't played it, you absolutely should. Best mobile handheld game on here on this list is Downwell. Fantastic game. So good and so stupidly fun and ridiculously simple. It's great. Downwell, worth your money. Go get it.
I will say in response to you, Tom, that there's like each publication ends up doing their own Game of the Year thing, and then you get some. So like, yeah, this is the Jeff Keighley version, but it will inevitably have five or six others that yeah, will kind of, I won't say make everybody happy, but, you know, just have the different perspective. So I wouldn't get too, you know, if a person's listening to this, I wouldn't get too upset that their game wasn't shown. It doesn't mean their game was bad.
Yeah, for every just, Oscars, there's a Golden Globes and a SAG Awards.
There you
and
go.
People's Choice and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. EFC 88 called out the news that Bethesda shipped 12 million copies of Fallout 4 at a value of $750 million. Follow-up shipments have already begun, and Bethesda said that digital sales of Fallout 4 are breaking records, too. On Steam, Fallout 4 became the number one game played, surpassing the previous record for concurrent plays with more than 470,000 Fallout players concurrent.
Oh my gosh, and that is the new leader, right? Like
that, and that's not even with me.
Yeah. That is now with Veronica. She told me yesterday she got it installed, and I guess she's in. That game is really, really good and really, really good. I don't even know what else to say about it. It's also super broken, but also kind of perfect, but also kind of flawed. It's like
it's like my life.
It's like basically it's a Bethesda game in every way. And that means the good comes with the janky, and the janky comes with great, and greatness comes around the corner, and then something dumb happens after that. It's just a very weird mix that somehow works as the whole, and you don't want it to be different than that. And it's right now, if I'm to vote, it's my game of the year. I think it's fantastic.
Can I say one thing about the last story? You jump really fast. It's like one line. Splatoon as shooter of the year is hilarious. I just want to say that. I love the game.
It's it's technically shooting.
I know, but it's like when I play it a lot. I can't put it against Battlefront.
Well, I also wouldn't put esports game of the year. I wouldn't put Call of Duty Advanced Warfare on here because they don't really have that much. They have some stuff going around it, but it's nothing like Dota 2 or League of Legends or Counter-Strike or even Heroes of the Storm, which didn't make the list.
Those are fighting words to people who play Call of Duty.
Absolutely they are, but they don't have the same. Yeah, it's a weird category in general. Also, trending gamer is a weird category. Like, I like these guys. They're all fine. Markiplier, PewDiePie, Total Biscuit, these guys are fine. But what's that about? That's a weird thing to have as a category.
It's just to get that recognition to the YouTubers who
yeah.
do push sales of games. And so if they didn't recognize them, they'd have heat over
well,
that,
I wish
so.
The Academy of Motion Pictures and Sciences would give me an award for going to see a bunch of movies during the year. Because that's kind of what it is,
do
right?
You stream yourself going to see the movie?
Yes, and it's very illegal, and I get in trouble for it every time.
Well, we should change those laws so that you can do that.
All right.
Yeah. So anyway, that good point about Splatoon. Good point about the games. Anything else to add to Fallout 4, though? I mean, it kind of goes right in with that Games of the Year story because it's going to be one of them.
Well, yeah. I mean, $750 million worth of sales in the first week and a half. That is pretty unprecedented. Also, it is a game that I think is somewhat prohibitive to casuals. I don't think it's the kind of game that should appeal to as many people as it does. Yet it somehow does. And I love that it does. I hope they never stop making games like this. I absolutely love their games. I can't wait for whatever's next in the Elder Scrolls series that isn't an MMO, and what they do after Skyrim, what they do after this will be great. DLC is very exciting. I do not want to live in a world where Bethesda does not still make video games, and glad they did it here. It's really, really good.
Do you know what their cost of this game was? Because, you know, like, have they made their profit yet?
That's a really good question, man. I wonder, because it's one of the more expensive things. It takes them a long time. The last new Fallout game from Bethesda directly was Fallout 3. New Vegas wasn't even them as the primary studio. It was their technology, but it was a different studio who built it. So it's been since, like, what was that, 2009 or something like that? Yeah, I want to say it was 2009, maybe 2008. I think 2009. And maybe 10. I forget. But anyway, the point is, it was a long time ago, and it took them this long to do another one. And in between that, they had Skyrim, and this is essentially the same team. So it's it takes them 4 or 5 years between these titles, and they're probably already working on whatever's next. It's not cheap, but my guess is if they've done $750 million in revenue in a week's time on a single-player RPG, I think they're sitting pretty. I'll bet their budget was $200 million. I'll bet they're way over where they should be. So
yeah, that seems about right. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Skyrim was $90 million.
Their cost?
Yeah.
So that's probably...
GTA was $270 million.
I'm probably a
little... Oh, really? Just that?
Oh, yeah. GTA is...
GTA 5.
I thought it was more than that. Okay, see, that was like half a billion.
I would call that expensive. Well, whatever. They're in the range that movies are now in terms of of cost for these bigger titles. But
even if you put it up to $300 million, they're still making money.
Yeah, they did fine. And they will do fine. This game's going to cream it in the holidays. And it has no right to do as well as it's doing. And also, it kind of has a crappy performance problem on PS4 and Xbox. Like, it looks kind of crappy there. PC version's much better. But despite all of that, despite the jank and the weirdness, still one of the more compelling games of the year. So, there you go.
And the award for best fan of Mad Max Fury Road goes to...
me. Ding, 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 ding!
Hey, another Jay Martin pointed us out a story that Altspace VR, a company that makes VR games, with the backing of Wizards of the Coast, have developed a playable VR version of Dungeons & Dragons, wherein each player has an avatar and plays the game on a virtual mat.
So cool.
The app is currently designed to work with the Oculus Rift DK 2.
Yeah, it's cool. Do you see it, Lamar? What'd you think of that thing?
I saw the video of it, and the way he was explaining it, it looks really cool. You know, when I first saw the graphics, I don't know, you know, if you all remember this. Remember when Microsoft had this Microsoft chat that was like a virtual?
Yeah.
You know, you had a little avatar, and I think you could use your voice in it. It felt like that initially when I saw the graphics, but I know. The technology is way beyond it because you're using the Oculus Rift for this?
Yeah, the DK2. Surely this will be.
By the way, Altspace VR makes communication. They make chat software, communication software for virtual realities. I said they make games, so I misspoke there.
Right.
That's why they're like, hey, if you're going to be talking about stuff, one of the things you might want to be talking about is your role-playing game. So that's how we get into this. I know some people are going to find it amusing, like, well, wouldn't they want to make it be so you could be in the dungeon rather than virtually sitting at a table?
I actually think this is the right approach because the answer is no. We have plenty of those experiences and we'll have plenty more in VR and outside of VR. Why not give me something that brings the actual experience of D&D with friends I want to play with, put us around a virtual table where we're all talking in stereophonic sound next to each other, to the left or the right, represented by some kind of person or avatar. The graphics a little rough, but hey, whatever, get it in the right hands and that'll all improve. But just create that experience in that kind of raw dog way, and I'm in, man. And that's way more interesting to me than them trying to recreate yet another D&D world.
Yeah. I have a comic book store not too far from where I live, and I walked in one day and they were in the back table doing Dungeons and Dragons, and just seeing the people, or, you know, not only the people playing it, but the people watching it. It's quite, like, I've never seen that before. It's quite the spectacle. And I think those people enjoy just being with each other around the tables. I think you're right. I think there's an aspect of just being there, looking at the table, talking with your friends, which probably makes it as much as immersive as they want it to be. I don't think they want it more immersive than that.
Yeah.
And if you try to do Dungeons and Dragons with people who aren't around, like over Skype or something, it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
And this kind of takes away some of those barriers and says, okay, we're all in the same room now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the real trick is, will it recreate the feeling of, because half of D&D is the laughing and the funny stuff that happens and the stupid character names you made. And
I think that's the idea, is to try to replicate the ability for that to be preserved.
And if that's happening in there, great. If people aren't getting sick while they're doing it, even better. And then I do think, so all that being said, they can get more creative with graphical dressing. They can say, have some archetype avatars. Oh, yeah,
looks like the pieces animate and stuff like that, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, but you could, like, make the dude next to you look like the wizard he's playing. Or
you get to pick an avatar. So, sure. Right.
Yeah, and the environment around you could be variable. It could be a beautiful...
The one they show in the picture is a Hearthstone-looking place. You know, it's like a big old castle.
There's about what you want, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is not going to be the first of this sort of thing. I suspect this will be a huge part of VR. And the fact that communications companies and Facebook themselves are giant, the giant bankroll of Oculus now is involved, tells you all you need to know about where they think the future of this stuff is. It isn't just games and feeling like you're there. A lot of it is, how are we connecting? Are we in the same room? Are we talking all the time? What are we doing in there while we're there? Yeah, it's going to be good. I can't wait.
I want the virtual reality chess, because otherwise it's like watching paint dry.
Right.
Exactly. Oh, you could do the Star Wars chess.
Yeah. Or virtual paint drawing. That'd be all right.
Actually, I want that.
Now I want that. Hey, you know, space mining may not be real yet, but it is now legal in the United States. The U.S. Commercial Space Launch Competitiveness Act lets U.S. companies own any non-organic resources they harvest from asteroids and other space objects. Why non-organic?
Oh, I love how they stress that part.
I'm curious. It also shields commercial space companies from additional regulation for the next 8 years. It does not, however, take into account what any inhabitants of the asteroids may think, or anyone else outside the U.S. for that matter.
Wait a minute, though. How is it not organic just to be an asteroid, though? Isn't that organic by its very definition? Like, it's space rock.
No. Organic molecules are carbon-based.
Oh, well... But aren't
plant matter, life, etc. So I guess what it's saying is, if you've discovered life, you don't get to own that.
Oh, okay.
But if you're just mining minerals and rocks and stuff like that, that's fine.
But if you found like water and ice in there, that's yours. If you find that's hydrogen,
non-organic.
Okay, yeah. So if you're finding material, okay, that makes sense to me now. Yeah, organic. In my mind, I'm using the definition of like. You made a plastic.
Think back to organic chemistry.
Yeah, that's
the definition of organic.
That's where I want to be. No, makes sense.
Is this the new space race? Trying to grab as many asteroids and comets as you can?
Another
game. I mean, SpaceX wants to go up and do mining, but they don't want to have their findings confiscated when they get back down on the ground with the U.S. saying like, well, you used some NASA resources, so that's our... Rock.
Another game I would have put on the best games of the year list is something called Rebel Galaxy, and in that game you spend a lot of time mining. It's a grand tradition in virtual space to mine rocks for their precious minerals and sell them on the market or craft things out of them or whatever.
You're basically saying, look, you can go and you can mine and you can bring back the rocks, but you don't get to bring back a dwarf if you find one up there clanking away.
A dwarf. You mean like a dwarf?
Space dwarf.
Yeah, space dwarf. I just want to make sure I got that right. Hey, like what are you doing on my rock? You
said. Hey, to step up and take a load off at the asteroid. It's the Scottish space dwarf.
Exactly.
Very nice. Star Fury Zeta also submitted the link to the discovery of a board game called Bo, found buried beside a 2,300-year-old tomb.
What?
Archaeologists found a 14-faced die, 21 numbered game pieces, and a broken tile that they think might have been the playing board. Archaeologists refused to comment, however, on whether it's a testament to the importance of time limits on turns.
It'd be cool if there's a little hourglass in there.
There's just one guy with a skeleton with a fist in his face waiting.
I like that idea a lot. This is super cool, man. Like, we think of, we've always sought entertainment or whatever, but we think of this kind of stuff as a modern construct. We don't ever go, well, I wonder how the ancient Egyptians played, 3,000 years ago. This sounds like a straight up game. There's nothing in here that I could find when I read through this that said they could decipher what the rules might have been. Or
yes, in fact, it is in that article.
Oh, it is. How did I miss that? That was the number one thing I wanted to know.
How there's a poem that describes the rules of Bo, and the poem actually does go into some of the details that fit with the pieces that they found.
Oh, here it is. Okay. Bamboo dice, ivory piece in the game. Lu Bo is begun. Sides are taken. They advance together. Keenly, they threaten each other. Pieces are kinged and then scored double. Shouts of five white arise. That's complicated, like all our rules. So good job, guys. That's super awesome, though. I love the fact that existed. Yeah. And that die is just... That's just bad.
I wonder if this is as old as, we were talking about chess earlier, but it's still unclear whether that was Indian or Chinese origins, but chess has a long origin back, and I wonder if it's older than this.
Yeah, thing. And I know that this has dice, but it does seem to have a similar, in that poetic description anyway, very similar to chess. If you have kings and taking pieces and all of that.
Nerds love that die is not just like a square thing. They'd love that's like multi-sided polygonal die.
Yeah.
It looks like some D&D thing. It's pretty awesome. Very nice.
I want to play this now.
I do too.
Right?
I totally do. I'm sure they're not going to let us, though, Tom, because it's this 2,300-year-old thing. They're not going to let us.
We get I'm not going to get an original set, but I get a replica. Right?
We could 3D print it.
Yeah.
Why not?
Chess is believed to have originated in Eastern India in between 280 and 550. Oh. So that's younger.
That is younger
than this. This is 2,300 years old.
Or how old? And then that's chess rules as we know them? Or was there, I mean, I wonder how different it was.
I closed then. The tab.
Oh, well, damn it.
Don't read it yourself. No, I don't know. I didn't get that far.
Nice.
I don't know anything, Scott.
I know. Like, it's the internet.
Away
it's all tabs.
Mystique that I actually know this stuff off the top
of my head.
You're
supposed to know it all, man.
I just know how to search Google really well.
Nice.
That's all it takes in this modern world. Captain Kipper gave us the story that music streaming service RDO will file bankruptcy and will be bought by internet radio service Pandora for $75 million. Whether, in fact, a taco is involved in the purchase price or not is unconfirmed at this point.
Well, that's...
Sources familiar with tacos say it's likely.
Okay, good. So Pandora buying out whatever's left of RDO. RDO going bankrupt. Zune Music finally dying. Feels like a weird time to be a streaming music fan. Sort of, except there's like some really good options out there.
Really, you gotta stretch if you're bringing up Zune Music. Yeah,
well,
example,
you're kind of stretching.
It all happened
the rocky waters.
Yeah, but it all happened the same day. That was significant because you had the RDO thing, you had the Zune thing go away that day.
I get the pattern recognition.
Right, I like that. I like the idea that everyone all at once kind of synchronized their music.
And Yahoo Music from 2003. I actually did too.
Like, back in 2004.
I was the only one who had it.
What happened to Groove Shark? What are they doing?
They got sued out of existence.
Yeah, they were legal.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Grooveshark.com. Let's see what they say right now.
But yeah, I mean, all kidding aside, you've got a point, which is this is the first of the beginning of the shakeup of the streaming music business. And Zune going out of business is sort of the last of the old model fading away.
Well, now we're seeing.
What's that?
Did it really go out? I mean, it's just been.
Yeah, they shut off Zune Music.
I mean, it's been renamed.
If you haven't moved over to Xbox Music yet, we're done.
Okay, so it is technically a closing. It's
they
not
gave you plenty of opportunities to move over to Xbox Music.
For a long time, yeah.
And now they've shut off Zune Music. So if you never made the move, you're screwed.
And now it's not even Xbox Music. It's Groove Music, right?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Groove Shark
wasn't sue them anymore because they've been sued out of existence.
So. Was the Zune... What happens if I have a brown Zune? Okay, remember the brown Zune? It's a really ugly Zune. If I still had that Zune, what do I do with it now? Nothing?
You can still play music on it. You just can't...
I just manually
Zune music
manage it.
Service is different than the Zune device.
All right, so I could pull MP3s over there and still use
still
that.
Squirt.
Okay.
It can hold. It can hold your door open.
I forgot that they had the squirt functionality.
I don't know if there was any other Zune people around for you to squirt your music to, but
it's such a stupid thing they did.
Yeah. Anyway. But anyway, getting back to what you're saying. Pandora taking over RDO. RDO is the first to fall to say, "Yeah, we can't make a go of this." And Pandora has been complaining about the high cost of internet radio for a long time. So they're looking at this as like, well, maybe if we combine a streaming music service that's like Spotify with the internet radio that we have on Pandora, which has been fairly successful, we can make more money.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because didn't Pandora kind of mess themselves up joining with the government and like settling on certain fees and now the music industry hates them?
Sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, what Pandora did was they were – either forced or chose to, depending on which side you are on, to settle with Sound Exchange over royalty rates for streaming, which radio doesn't have to play. Radio has to pay, like terrestrial radio that broadcasts over the air, they have to pay royalty rates to writers of music, but not to performers. That was settled back in the 60s. And Sound Exchange went to Pandora and said, I'm sorry, you're not over the air. You're not broadcasting, so we have to strike a new deal. And they made them pay the performers' royalty fees, not just the writers.
Well, there you go. We've all learned something today.
Not sure what.
I'm not sure either. But I have learned this, that on this show, we do a little something called the pop quiz. And today, Lamar gets put under the pressure cooker. So here you go.
America scores and wins.
All right. That music means only one thing. It's time for us to do the pop quiz. We ask our guests questions in areas of their expertise. If they get an answer correctly, if they get it wrong, Tom scores the whole thing. And at the end, we sort of compare it to the averages a little bit. Not really.
The first question is, what was chess's original name in the Gupta Empire?
Oh, I wish that was our category. Instead,
it's
a very different kind of category. And Lamar, I'm about to surprise you with it because I didn't even like poke you to find out some stuff. Instead, I noticed that on your channel, along with all the great content you do, one of the things you do is you try out a lot of strange Oreos. Okay?
Yeah. Yes.
So your trivia is Oreo trivia. All right?
Oh, okay.
So you might do all right here. Let's see how you do.
I doubt it.
It seemed like fun anyway when I thought about it. Here's your first question. There are eight of them total. What year were Oreo cookies first introduced?
Yeah, this isn't going to be good. I will take a stab at it because I definitely don't know.
All right.
1982.
1912 is the correct answer.
Oh.
You're a little off, just a little bit.
Just by a tiny bit.
Uh huh.
Just by 70 years.
70 or 80 years, sure. It's fine. Yeah. That's a pretty close margin of error. next question. What Oreo variety was offered first in 1987? Now, think about this one because it was a big whoop.
So, when you say variety, you mean like beyond the standard Hydrox ripoff?
Correct. Like it was a variety. I don't want to lead him on to think it's anything more than it is, but it was a big deal.
Not
for
a trick question where you're like, well, the first variety was the real,
Okay. When Tom and I were in high school, this was a big deal, and I remember them advertising the hell out of it.
I'm thinking it would have to be the double stuff.
You are correct. Nicely done.
And you get double points for that.
Yeah, good job. Yeah. Oh, I should have mentioned Tom scores it weird. He gives you weird points.
No, it's not weird. It's the rules.
It's a little weird. Okay, next up. What Clint Eastwood movie features a character whose Oreos are constantly being hidden from her?
Clint, you give me a Clint Eastwood movie.
Okay. Sure.
Good, Bad, and Ugly. That's the only one I know.
Varieties of Oreos that are being hidden.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Every Which Way But Loose is the correct answer.
Oh, okay.
Although I like Tom, so that was better.
That's always the correct answer in any situation.
It's the one with the monkey in it, right? It had the orangutan in it.
Yeah, it was orangutan? Yeah.
I did not see that movie.
Right Turn, Clyde.
whoa. Your memory of that, well, whatever. You like 10 Speed and Brown Shoe. It's fine. what's next? Here you go. How many Oreo flavors are there currently available right now?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This kind
of, guess is accepted, but whatever you got.
What?
How many flavors are currently available? And this isn't variety, so no double stuff or any of that. We're talking just flavors.
Got it.
In total that they've made?
That they have right now on the market that you could go purchase now.
Oh,
today.
That you have right now on the market. 7?
You are incorrect. The answer is 25.
Wait, no. No, you cannot buy 25 right now.
That does not sound right.
You can, but you have
I'm
to
giving
be...
giving them a half point.
Some are regional. Some are only sold overseas. Some are... So you'd have to drive all over the place.
I see.
Yeah, I don't mean what could
There's
you go
seven
get.
Seven in the U.S., I bet.
Those Sriracha Oreos that Ooh. You can get.
Oh, God.
Don't tempt me. That sounds amazing, actually. That sounds all right. I've had Sriracha ice cream, and it turned my head off.
Sriracha popcorn. Wait,
are you serious?
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. It's shockingly good. Dude, Sriracha is the miracle goo. I don't know what's going on.
That was the
on.
One thing at Nerdtacular that they tried to trip us up with. They were like, everything that they gave us with Sriracha was so good.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Here's your next one. Weird Al Yankovic song is a tribute to Oreo cookies. Which one is it? What's it called?
It's a tribute?
Yeah.
The song itself?
Yeah, the song itself is a tribute to the Oreo.
Jungle.
You know I'm fat.
You're...
I'm fat. No, I know it's not that one.
No, but it could be.
There's two sides to every story.
double or nothing. I don't know.
Well, you are incorrect. The answer is the white stuff, which I've never.
Oh, you got the right stuff, baby. Is it off the end?
No, that must
the
be
white
it.
Stuff.
That must be it.
Little love the Oreo. Got it.
Yeah,
okay,
that's it.
You're getting a half point because you came up with some good alternatives.
Yeah, those are all right. What state were the Oreos first sold in? Their home state, their launch state.
No idea, but I'll take a stab at all 50.
Okay. I'll give you a hint. It's in the lower 48.
Okay.
So if that helps you.
The first thing I was going to say is Nebraska. It just felt right.
All right, well, let's see if you're right. Is it Nebraska? Nope, it's New Jersey.
That's not the lower 48.
New Jersey. Well, it is because the other two, the ones that make 50, are Alaska and Hawaii.
Okay,
right?
I thought you meant like lower on the map. I was thinking south. And I used to be a teacher, guys.
All right, what does lower 48 mean? Is our next question.
Question eight. What is?
Hey, by the way, when you were a teacher, what age kids did you teach?
elementary school.
You must have been a blast. You were probably the funnest teacher ever in there.
Some other teachers hated me because the word got around that I was fun, and their classes, every time we walked past, their kids would talk to me.
Yeah.
And the teacher would be like, don't talk to them. Stay, be quiet.
Yeah, they get weird about that.
Mr. Wilson, yeah. Stop being enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
learning is not supposed to be enjoyable.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly what.
Yeah, school sucks. And also, Lower 48 is not the South. All right, next question. what was the
Lower
Oreo?
Of the Confederate States? Or the United.
Right, exactly.
What was the Oreo cookie's original name, or what was it originally known as? I don't know if this is colloquial or what they mean by that, but I think the question means what was it called before it became just the Oreo cookie?
You know, I don't even know if I can make a good guess on this one. I always thought it was Oreo.
I'll give you a hint. It is still, but it's instead of the Oreo cookie, they called it the Oreo something.
Okay. The Oreo sandwich, then. That has to be right.
Wrong. It's the Oreo biscuit.
Oreo
biscuit.
That's very English of them.
Yeah, very British, right? Very British.
I'm giving you a third of a point for not being English.
All right, thank you.
Final question. The modern filling for Oreos was developed by what Nabisco food scientist? Oh, my Lord.
It was not Bill Merritt.
No.
Nabisco food scientist.
Your dad was a
Nabisco
guy.
That's why you thought
Nabisco,
too. Nabisco. They sound
Oh, that's exactly. So cool. I forgot about that. That's what he did.
It was Dr. Cream Linus.
Dr. Cream Linus Middle?
Yes.
Middleton? Let's see if that was him. Nope, it was Sam Porcello is his name.
So close. Dr. Cream Linus Middle worked for Hydrox.
Oh, this one.
Who will remember him? Well done. You did as well as anyone could given the subject matter. Let's find out.
I don't think so.
Tom, how did you do?
I need to get up on my Oreo trivia if I do these videos. Wow.
Well, you never know. Tom, how do you do?
4.3. A final score of 4.3, which if you put a zero before and after it, kind of looks like the word Oreo.
Oh.
Hey, that was planned.
That's very nice. Chocolate cookie with a lovely inside. Well done.
Just like me.
That's so sweet. All right. That's going to do it for that. Before we move on to forecast.
I'm so not proceeding with that metaphor.
Tom.
Yeah. Let it go.
Tom and I are going to make mention of something we're pretty excited about. Now, we've hinted the show before that we had a kind of loot crate style box thing that we're creating. For our listeners, for Current Geek listeners. It's not even across the whole network. Not yet, anyway. And we've been very excited about it. Now we have it. It's a thing you can subscribe to, it turns out. And I'm going to get you the info right here. Hold on. There it is. All right. Here's the deal. You need to go to, there it is, frogpants.cratejoy.com. That's frogpants.cratejoy.com. And you'll get all the information about what it is, how it is, and how it works. There's pictures of me, Tom, and Jenny. And Dave's not there. He should be, though, because he's doing a lot of help with this. It tells you what's in the box. It gives you.
Dave's doing all the real work.
Yeah, he's doing all the box or doing all the real work. Here's an example of what you can get. You can expect things like custom 8x12 prints by me, drawn exclusively for the Current Geek box.
Special box.
special Current Geek item. One new one each month. First box in December will include a forecast calendar of the year 2044. Future calendar, everybody. Forecast. Get it?
Now, just so you know. The year 2044 happens to have the exact same layout of days as the year 2016.
Whoa. Is that why you picked it that way?
No.
Okay, I don't want to give any secrets away.
Just a coincidence.
Anyway, future months will include items like excerpts from official Current Geek quiz rules, a custom Current Geek mouse pad featuring Gavel McLeod and the miscellaneous Tales of Aggregate pamphlet by Tom, assortment of mini print stickers from all around the Frog Pants Network, special Current Geek supporter card for each month. Suitable for carrying in your wallet. Show off your shame to your non-supporting friends. And finally, bonus items from sponsors
and
guests.
To show off and shame.
What did I say? Shame?
To your shame.
Oh, I meant, I didn't mean that.
This will not shame you.
This won't shame you at all. That's the best part about
this
whole thing.
Guaranteed not to shame you.
There'll be bonus items from sponsors and guests. That's very exciting because we get somebody really rad on from like the film industry. We may get something really cool out of that. So, anyway, if you want to get the supporter package, the Current Geek Box supporter package, go over there and check it out. Again, that
we should have asked Lamar for something.
I know we should have. We should have been our first guinea pig.
Just throw a couple of Oreos in there.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's a brilliant idea. Anyway, it's available now. Go to frogpants.cratejoy.com. Thank you all for your support. And anyone who does that, we really appreciate it. And we'll talk about it more in the coming weeks and months.
Hey, yeah. I just want to say congratulations on this. That takes a lot of work to get one of these out. I know it does.
It's a huge pain in the butt, but we want it. We only want to do things for our listeners that are huge pains in the butts.
Well, and here's the thing. The idea is if you like the show, instead of us doing another Patreon or instead of us taking advertisements or whatever, which we might still do, show your support for the show by buying a box. $30 a month, you get not only the satisfaction of knowing you have helped Current Geek continue as a show, but you get cool stuff. Something from Scott, something from me, something from our guests. So go there. Frogpants.cratejoy.com.
Yeah. I've already typed in frog point. Too late. I'm already buying from them.
We ruined marketing. The whole thing.
The frog points people are going to be doing really well.
All right. Thank you all for your support, though. Frogpants.cratejoy.com. Let's do forecast.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
All right. This is a part of the show where we make predictions about the future. Sometimes nerdy, sometimes science fiction or science hope. We don't know, but we like to do it. And sometimes it's depressing. Sometimes it's very positive. I think today's is kind of positive, and I haven't done one for a while, so this is my submission this week. We will soon have a pill that we will take. We'll take this pill when we need to go out into the cold or into the heat. So dead of summer in Phoenix, freezing cold in Minnesota during the winter, let's say. Either of those two extremes. And you will take that pill, and it will warm you up or cool you off depending on what you need. And all of this is controlled via an app on your phones. They last one per day. You'll take it in the morning, slowly makes its way through your system. I don't get into the gritty details of how you expel it, but let's just say you're used to doing that anyway.
It's a tingling action, means it's working.
Yeah, you know when it's working. And your app will be able to tell you, okay, well, what do I want here? I want it to feel like it's 83 degrees outside in the snow. It will eliminate our need, not for jackets and things, because you're still going to have your skin needs to be not exposed to certain elements and things like that. But you would be able to wear a light jacket outside and have whatever warmth you want and not freeze and not have to wear some giant coat. So I think that's coming. I think that kind of biotech where we control that stuff, and I'll tell you where this was inspired by, and then you guys can tell me how wrong I am. But it came from this story I heard on NPR about some psychological stuff. So it was like, all right, what we do now when we want to take care of, oh no, it was a TED talk, sorry. We want to take care of somebody with depression, we give them medication that is this, it's like dumping a ladle of soup over a big hunk of meat and hoping that it trickles into the places it needs to go. And it kind of works and it kind of doesn't, but that's kind of the method. It's this overall, just dip the brain in it and hope that something comes out good. Instead, there's work afoot on medications that you would take that would release specific chemical neuron activators that would work on specific portions of the brain, essentially acting as like a little electrical switch, and would more pinpoint the problem rather than just dumping goo on top of your brain. So it got me to thinking, well, why couldn't we use this kind of technology, whether it be electronic or bioelectric or whatever, to, fix our whole temperature problem, improve our lives outdoors?
So I have a critical question here.
Go ahead.
I was with you at first, very much so, all right. Very excited.
All right.
And then you said something about, manipulating our neurons or stimulating them.
Yeah.
Are you going to actually increase the body temperature or decrease the body temperature? Or are you just going to make us think we're warmer or colder?
That is not a question I had considered until you just said it. That is fascinating.
Because like, people sometimes drink alcohol to keep warm because it makes them feel warmer, but it actually lowers their body temperature. So, it becomes a whole different proposition if you're running around outside like, no, I'm perfectly warm. Like, no, you're turning blue. You need to get inside.
I got
to
think about that for a minute. That's interesting.
You did mention the skin will still need to be protected. So your argument of thinking would work.
In fact, if anything, me saying that proves Tom's theory that all we'd be doing is convincing ourselves that we're warm, because there are people out there that don't feel pain. I forget what the condition's called, but they don't feel pain, or at least in significant ways. So they're always getting hurt and not knowing it and cutting themselves. And it turns out it's really good that we feel pain, so that when we scrape our knee or we cut ourselves walking past something sharp, we immediately know and take care of it. And some people you know, rip a gash in their right. side and not know they're bleeding out until 20 minutes later. It's like that. So you would have to protect yourself from exposure because your brain would be telling your body, don't worry about it. Everything's fine. But maybe it wouldn't be fine. You start getting...
Because I'm still for it in that case, but you need a lot more caveats and safety mechanisms in place so that you don't accidentally forget that you're cold.
So how would you do that? Would you have like auto shutoffs? Would you have like what do you think would?
Well, you'd have to monitor the actual temperature of the body and then shut off the app. Say nope, sorry, you have to go back to feeling the cold now because your body temperature is falling beyond a certain point.
And maybe you'd have to wear
it's complicated.
Maybe you'd have to wear an external. Sensor that would say it's actually 33 below. This is way out of the
range.
Well,
I think you could actually, I mean, if you've got something inside yourself stimulating neurons, it could tell if your body temperature is too low.
Yeah, that's a good point. Cause again, it wouldn't be an actual, you would be as cold as you would normally.
When you first started describing it though, I was imagining a pill that would just somehow radiate heat throughout you. And I don't know how that would work.
Yeah. That's
but the
scary.
Idea of having a nest for my body temperature is brilliant.
Yeah. It'd be all right. I think. So what do you think there, Lamar? Good, bad, ugly, what?
Yeah, I mean, after Tom dissected it as Tom only does.
Yeah. After Tom blew it, fun.
I think it's a good idea. I actually was thinking of the same thing of the radiating heat on those. You know, if I got to fly out to the Midwest, oh my God, I don't want to go to Chicago because I'm thinking about that for next week. Mm-hmm. It's like, we'll just pop this pill and I'll feel like I'm still in L.A.
Yeah,
but I'm in Chicago. You know, and it's I don't know. Yeah, I love that idea.
You're gonna
be
cold in Chicago. It's gonna be bad. And maybe this is the thing they start with the other direction where. Well, whatever. Heat exposure is bad too, I guess. But it seems like it might be safer to test where hypothermia.
Your body can handle rising temperature a lot better than dropping in. Remember when mine dropped just a degree or so? I felt it was freezing because I was undergoing some illness, and it's like it's so much worse if your body drops heat temperature. I think
it feels like it. Yeah. I mean, when I was younger, I felt like cold was okay because I could always get warmed in a blanket or something. But when something's artificially happening, like with a flu or something, or you have an infection you're not aware of or whatever, that puts you in a place of pure misery. The heat I can deal with, I feel like. The older I've gotten, the more I like the heat. I like to jog in 104 degree weather, for example, some kind of psycho. Isn't that great? It's great to do that. There's something about it. I don't know if it's because it's making me think I'm working harder because I'm sweating like a pig. Or what?
But that's probably what it is.
I'll take that any day. But here, when the show's over, I got to go walk my dog out in 30 degree weather, and I don't want to. And I'm talking Fahrenheit, you weird bunch of Europeans. So,
yeah, he's talking Victorian era technology, not this modern metric system.
Yeah, not this much more sensible thing you guys do. Forget it. Anyway, that's my thinking. That's my hope. If you guys at home have your own ideas, you can always email them in. That email is currentgeek@gmail.com, which is also a place people send emails to. We got one from someone named Henry AIE. I assume they're both Henry and in our guild.
They're AIE. Honorable Henry and in the guild.
It must be in the guild. Yeah. Anyway, he says this. It's a very short email, which I always like. It says, 1 month to Star Wars. Who do we blame if it's bad?
Such a good question.
It's a great question, and I love the simplicity of it. There's no exposition here. It's just straight up. If it's bad, who gets the blame? Is it J.J. Abrams? Is it Disney? Is it George Lucas for selling it?
Justin Robert Young was already saying this. He was like, look, I'm already telling people, I know it might suck, but I'm going anyway. I'm going for the experience of getting in and seeing it, even if it sucks. I don't care.
Yeah.
But what do you do afterwards? Do you say, well, it's just... It's a story that has been milked dry. No one could save it.
Yeah. So what do you think, Lamar? If it blows,
if it blows, I am one of those people that tend to blame the fan for being old. You know, no, seriously, they put it through the ringer. They dissect it. They raise all these expectations, and it's never going to live up to that. You know, I think that's what happened with 1, 2, and 3. I get some heat for saying that. I'm not saying they were the greatest movies, but you know, it explained a lot of stuff, and people just already had their expectation of what they thought the movie should be. And then the other thing to realize, I'm not going to go too far in this. The other thing to realize is that as much as we want this to be for us in our 30s and 40s, this movie and the upcoming yearly movies are not for us. They're for a new, younger, crowd, just like the Star Wars movies were. Excuse me, Star Trek movies were. They're introducing it to a new crowd.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think you're right, but I also think that this is different this time. And the reason I think it's different is I think that JJ has to do this really hard thing, and Kennedy and everybody involved in the production.
Sure,
they've got to figure out a way to please the old school fans that have been burned before, but think this is the chance to do it right and introduce those new people. So what he has to do is not just make a good movie. He has to make things happen in the movie that we won't know are specifically targeting our nostalgia bones and getting it right the way we think we need it to be right. That's hard. It's even hard to say.
I honestly think that if they do it right, they don't care about new viewers.
Really?
Yeah, because the Star Wars The Force Awakens does not succeed on people who've never seen Star Wars.
Yeah.
There are so few of them, it doesn't matter. You have to make a movie that makes us satisfied. That said, I don't disagree with you, Scott. For us, the Star Wars universe, we want honoring the past without being too on the nose, so that we don't go, oh, you're just pandering to me now.
Yeah.
And we want a story that's new so that we're not sitting here like, oh, it's just a rehash of everything else.
Yeah.
So all those things are still true. You need a story that stands on its own. You need new characters that are deep and valuable on their own. And you need to honor those previous movies in ways that aren't too obvious.
Yeah. I don't want to freak anybody out here.
That's a tough call.
I can give you a successful example of this right now if you want to hear it. Someone who did exactly what you're talking about. You want to hear what it is?
Yeah.
I think Tom knows. George Miller made Mad Max, Road Warrior, and Thunderdome, and we figured that was over with. He then comes up in 2015 and he makes Fury Road, which absolutely exceeded every expectation I had, and also built upon what I loved and added some things I didn't expect and made my favorite movie of considerable amount of memory. It can be done, where you can take an old beloved thing and make it new, fresh, and rad again, but also retain why it was great in the first place. So I would just put that up on a pedestal and say, I know it's a shock, everybody, but I would put that up there and say, here's your example of how to.
Hold on. What is this movie you're talking about? I haven't heard you mention this before.
Crazy Maxwell.
Is this some kind of Beatles illusion?
Yeah. Fury. Yeah. Furry.
It's about
toad,
furries.
Furry toad. Okay. Yeah. Furry
and,
toad.
And Maxwell House.
Yeah. And Maxwell House coffee. It's good to the last drop.
Placement. Okay.
Yeah,
got
it's
it.
Good to the last drop of sand because there's no water in that world, really.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
Anyway, I'm just saying that there's opportunity for them to even just break even on the deal with this Star Wars movie and make it as good and have it feel as right as the old stuff does to us now. I think they can do it. I mean, this is very wishful thinking, and Justin Robert Young's got the right idea.
The closer we get to the day it comes out, the more fear everyone who was hoping for greatness from Phantom Menace is going to feel.
Yeah.
They're going to start feeling like, maybe I've made a horrible mistake pre-ordering these tickets.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm going to get burned again. But everything that I've seen from the trailers, and we even got a new one about with some new lines from Finn today.
Yeah.
Or yesterday, I guess, every one of them satisfies me.
Yeah.
And I can't say I felt the same way about Phantom Menace.
Yeah, no, I can definitely say I didn't feel that way.
I was suspicious.
Things leaked out of that and I went, ugh, that didn't sound good. What the hell's that they're talking about? Well, hopefully it'll still be good, I would say.
Yeah, they've made $50 million already in pre-sales.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
just nuts.
That's unheard of, right? Like, no one's done that before.
Completely unheard of.
That's an opening weekend for a really popular movie.
So if nothing else, they have achieved fooling us all.
They have pre-sold more tickets than Avengers made in a weekend, in their opening weekend. Think of that.
The most recent, Age of Ultron.
Yeah, Age of Ultron. That's crazy.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's nuts.
Yeah, and it's about to get nutsier. So watch for that. Anyway,
it's about to get nuts here, folks.
Great email. I love these short ones that create all kinds of great answers. Please keep them coming. They're great. Currentgeek@gmail.com. It's going to do it for the show, everybody. Lamar Wilson, tell people where they can find you and more of you.
You can find me on YouTube mostly. I do almost daily videos there at youtube.com/Lamar Wilson. Talk about games, gadgets, and grub. I taste test and test out gadgets and test out games and having a lot of fun. Also on Twitter, Instagram's Lamar Wilson.
You know what you need to do? I don't know if you've done this yet, and I haven't seen it, but I don't think I have because I've seen most of them. But the hot pepper gaming thing where they do reviews of games while they're eating hot peppers.
Oh, yeah. I was just in a studio with them earlier this week.
You need to do that, dude.
Oh, I need to just copy what they're doing.
Well, and sure. Sure, but I want to see you on there because I don't know what it is about you specifically, but watching you lose your mind over a ghost pepper and trying to review some video game sounds delightful.
Yeah, I don't think my doctor would approve of that. I'm going through enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I would never do it either.
Like, you might be able to get a Mylanta deal, though.
Yeah, why not? Why not? That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Wrong.
And then
wrong
everybody part. Would know my age. Oh, yeah. He's definitely in his 40s.
Yeah.
Got a Mylanta deal.
Well, in that YouTube world, you got to be careful. All right. Well, Lamar, it was a pleasure having you on, man. Thanks
Thank
so
you
much
for having
me.
This was a great hour. I appreciate it.
Really fun stuff. We'll have you on again for real next time. It'll be again and not the first time. Tom Merritt, anything going on in your world we should talk about?
Pretend I'm Dumb About Star Wars Episode 3 came out yesterday, wherein I talk about Revenge of the Sith and the mind-blowing twist that I didn't see coming because I'm dumb. If you don't know what I'm doing, I'm watching the episodes of Star Wars in their episodic order, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, as if, or at least trying to put myself in the frame of mind of never having seen them before.
And you're not including, course, like, there's no Christmas special or...
No. These are just the movies, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then 7.
All right. Well, and you're how close again? Which one are you on now?
I just finished Revenge of the Sith. That's the one that's up now at tommerritt.com. Just go there and look for PIDASW in the navigation, or you can go to my YouTube channel as well and find it there. What's that?
I'm gonna watch that. I didn't know you were doing it.
Oh yeah, these are just my own personal fun project where I watch the movie, I take notes as if like I don't know anything about Star Wars, so I'm learning it all starting with Episode 1.
Yeah.
And of course in Revenge of the Sith, we find out that these two characters are one character.
What?
Spoiler alert.
Weird.
Oh man.
Wait, you're not talking
my mind.
You're not talking about the Phantom Menace race car guy that did the racer.
No, in Revenge of the and stuff that happens in Revenge of the Sith explains things that were very confusing in Attack of the Clones.
Mm. Well, there were a lot of very confusing things in Attack of the Clones. I'll give you
and
that.
And then I guess the next episode involves the children of Anakin Vader.
Whoa.
What?
All right. Well, he's playing. Remember, he's watching it like a dumb guy, and it's so he doesn't know. He doesn't know what's coming up next. Yeah. I freaking love that you're doing this. All right. So go check that out. If you like dumb jokes about Star Wars, I just put a new comic up at myextralife.com featuring the Skywalking Dead, which is just Luke Skywalker as a zombie. So enjoy that at myextralife.com. Andrew Allen does our theme music. You can call us anytime at 801-471-0462. Leave us a voicemail. You can find us on Twitter at Current Geek, at Scott Johnson, at Ace Detect, and at Lamar Wilson, currentgeek.reddit.com, currentgeek.com for all things else. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Tom, and our guest. We'll see you next time. Well done, everyone. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.